Hallelujah.
Great to be with you again this morning in the house. You know, as a pastor, as a preacher, one of the biggest things that one of the biggest anxieties about preachers is that when they're away from the pulpit too long and they get back in and they think, can I still do it? You know, it's a bit like driving a car and you know, when you've not driven it for a few weeks, you think, oh, I'm out of practice. Anyway, this morning I want to share with you a message that I suppose was birthed in my heart during our time in Tanzania. And whilst we were there, we heard a lot about the new wine, or I say heard a lot. There's a song, and we're going to use it this morning. In fact, we're going to introduce it to you this morning, a song called New Wine, which comes out of Hillsong. And God was just speaking to, certainly to myself, and I know speaking to other members of the team, about the new wine. And so this morning I want to begin just a two-week message which I'm calling Connoisseurs of the New Wine. And there is a title slide there, Danielle, if you can just pop that up on the screen, that will be great. Those of you that have your Bibles, and I trust that you do, either printed or electronic, go with me to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 14 to 17. Of course, the same account can be found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, but I'm reading it from Matthew's Gospel this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 to 17. And it says this: Then the disciples of John came to him, that is Jesus, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, Can the wedding groom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. Connoisseurs of the new wine. A connoisseur, if you don't know, is someone who has an authority or is a specialist on a particular topic. Someone who has a particular and a specialist appreciation of something. That's what a connoisseur is. I want to suggest this morning that every single person in the house who professes to be a student of the Lord Jesus Christ should be a connoisseur of things of the Spirit and the Word of God. Every single one of us should have a special appreciation for the Word and for Christ Jesus. I think sometimes we forget how important, how special his atoning sacrifice is. I wonder this morning, do you really understand what God has done? What he's done through Christ? And having understood what he has done, do you really appreciate it? Ask yourself that question. Do I really appreciate what God has done for me through Christ Jesus? Or have I become relaxed and complacent and indifferent to that great atoning work of Christ Jesus? I've never seen personally a connoisseur who has not been passionate about the thing that they love. Connoisseurs at times can be eccentric. And as connoisseurs of Christ Jesus, as students of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we should be passionate, shouldn't we? We should be enthusiastic about the thing we profess to love the most. And connoisseurs tend to be enthusiastic. This is a Pinot Noir, a red wine. And for those of you who are indeed connoisseurs of wine, I do apologize for decanting it into a plastic bottle. It does ruin the flavour somewhat, but for the purposes of travelling. A great wine. It has a teasing sense of crystalline minerality. It does indeed, folks. A beautiful aroma. A lovely bouquet. In fact, it's married together with a slightly biscuit's nose. Yes, it has a good colour on it. Very full-bodied wine. And fruit forward as well. Very nice. A connoisseur is one who is enthusiastic about the thing that they love the most. Jesus told us that we are not a body with a spirit, but we in fact are a spirit living in a body. We are first and foremost people of the Spirit. And as people of the Spirit, arguably, it's the only way that we will ever see the kingdom of God. Jesus said that, didn't he? That unless we become people of Spirit, we will never see the kingdom of God. This is why Jesus said to someone called Nicodemus, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And we, friends, as connoisseurs of this new wine, are first and foremost people of Spirit. It's interesting that as we read the text there in John 3 where Jesus encounters Nicodemus, it's interesting to note that before his encounter with Nicodemus, he found himself at a Passover feast. And people at the Passover feast were in awe and wonder of Jesus. In fact, it says in the text that when they saw signs and wonders he was doing, they believed in him. But then it goes on to say in that same text in John 2, verses 23 to 25, it says, but Jesus did not entrust himself to them, for he himself knew what was in man. In other words, it says this, that Jesus at the Passover feast, signs and wonders, people say, wow, fantastic, I believe in you. But it says Jesus didn't put any confidence in them. Why? Because Jesus understood what was in their heart. Jesus knew that they were impressed by the signs. They were impressed by what they were seeing. And he understood that that kind of belief is fickle and doesn't have any depth to it. A belief in Jesus divorced of faith counts for nothing. Faith, friends, is necessary in the kingdom of God. It's a vital ingredient. James, in his letter speaking on the issue of faith, said this, and I'm reading from the Message paraphrase because I like the way it puts it. In James 2, verses 19 to 20, paraphrasing it in the Message, it says this, do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you completely sitting back as if you had done something wonderful? That's just great. Demons do that, but what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you not suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands? Faith is necessary. And faith, friends, gives us an access all areas pass into the kingdom of God. You have to exercise faith. It requires, the kingdom of God requires a new thinking. The kingdom of God requires new wine. I don't know how many of you, I don't know how many of you Consider yourself a true student of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to this. Signs, friends, are not for believers. Signs are for unbelievers. It's great when we see things manifesting, fantastic, and we want to see that, don't we? We want to see the manifest power of God. But signs are not for the true, authentic believer. You see, there are plenty of people who say, "Show me and I'll believe." But Jesus met people like that, people who were in awe of what they saw, and he said, I don't trust you. I'm not putting any confidence in you because I know you only believe because of what you have seen. But for the true believer, Jesus said, "Blessed are they who have not seen and yet still believe." Faith is a vital requirement of the kingdom of God. In fact, Hebrews defines faith like this, as faith being the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so please, don't tell me I'll believe when I see. Because in the kingdom of God, that doesn't carry any weight. In fact, the Bible goes further than that and says this. He says, look, the Bible says, even the demons believe and they shake and shudder. Listen, if all you do is believe in Jesus because you have seen something, then let me tell you, you're in no better position than the demons. God requires something far more than just a simple belief. Mark 2:22, Jesus is clearly noted as saying that new wine is for fresh skins. New wine is for fresh wineskins. And we, friends, need to come into a new way of thinking, a new way of understanding the things of God if we want to enter into his kingdom. Jesus wants to make it clear to us that we will not, listen, we will not get away with our old ways of thinking. He wants to do something new in us. God's plans and purposes for us are far greater than we can ever imagine. God has greater plans for you than you realize. He's got a greater purpose for you than you recognize. And we cannot get away with our old ways of thinking. We cannot profess to be students of the Lord Jesus Christ and still have our old habits. We cannot profess to be true believers and still have our old attitudes. If we want to be and see the kingdom of God, it requires a new way of thinking. In fact, Psalm 90 reminds us, it says this, Psalm 90 verse 8, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. In other words, friends, nothing is hidden from God. And so don't think for a moment that it's okay for you to carry on exactly the same way you carried on before you met Jesus. Don't think it's okay for you to have exactly the same attitudes as you had before you met Jesus. Because it tells us that when we encounter Jesus, when we have an authentic meeting with him, something has to change. New wine is required for a new skin. Listen, if you're carrying on exactly the same way, if you look at your life and you can't see any difference between how you were after you met Jesus and before you met Jesus, you have a problem. You have a problem if you're one of those people, if you feel or think that you're comfortable the way you are with no need to change, you have a problem. If you think that God has finished transforming you, you're an old wineskin. If you're happy with living with your critical nature, you're an old wineskin. If you think you've nothing else to learn, if you've been there, done that, bought the proverbial t-shirt, and you think there's nothing else that God can teach you, you're an old wineskin. You're in need of new, not just new wine, but a new skin as well. If you still think it's acceptable to only love those who you like, you're an old wineskin, and God is looking to renew something in you. Let Let me ask you a question. Which of these is the bigger of the two, as you see it? The bottle or the balloon? The bottle, as you see it, the bottle. Thank you. The bottle. And the bottle's great because it will hold its, what is it, 330 milliliters of liquid. But the bottle has a problem. It's fixed. It has no capacity to expand. It has no capacity to grow. The balloon, however, may be smaller, but it has a capacity to expand. It has a capacity to take in new things and to grow. And that's what God is looking for. You see, there are too many bottles in God's church. People without a capacity for the new things of God, people without a capacity for the new wine that God wants to pour into you. Listen, this new wine that Jesus is talking about has nothing at all to do with age. Nothing at all. You can be a young person and still have an old wineskin. By equal measure, you can be an older person, but full of the fresh new wine because you've allowed God to clothe you with a new wineskin. You've allowed God to stretch your capacity for what he wants to do. You've allowed God to show you new things. Jesus constantly challenged the religious attitudes and practices that the Pharisees and other leaders had done. Religious practices that had long since lost their meaning. No one knew why they did them, but they did them because it's what they'd always done. And Jesus came to challenge attitudes like that. That's why we need to be careful that we don't just do things because it's what we've always done. But we need to be aware and the fact that God can teach us something new. Matthew 6:1, Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them." God is looking to pour new wine into new wineskins. I wonder this morning, are you a new wineskin? Or as you look at your life, has your wineskin, as it were, become dry? Has it lost its elasticity? And I'm speaking spiritually now, not in a physical way. One day, Jesus was confronted by religious people with the question about fasting, and that's what we have just read. The disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees fasted, and the Pharisees said, "Why do your disciples not fast?" Of course, the question wasn't really about fasting. Jesus wasn't answering the question about fasting, but he took the opportunity to speak about what it really means when you allow your mind and your life to be transformed by the renewed thinking of the Holy Spirit and the renewed thinking of the kingdom. He took the opportunity. I'm not rubbishing fasting, I fast myself, it's good at times and it has health benefits. But Jesus on this occasion was not speaking about fasting. He was talking about those patterns that belong to a ritualistic way and tradition. People who do things because it's what they've always done. Listen, church, God is not going to reward you or honor you for the number of times you've come into this building. God's not going to reward you for the number of times you've been in this house. So don't think that you come to church because it's the right thing to do. Don't think for a moment that you come to church because it makes you a morally good person. It counts for nothing. God is looking for new wineskins into which he can pour new wine and break us out of our limited religious constraints. what Jesus was saying to his disciples was this: you can't put new ideas into old mindsets. You need a new wineskin. You can't get new results with old habits. If you want to see your life changed, if you want to see your life different, then it requires a different and a renewed mindset. And I want to tell you this, that God is committed to you. God is committed to pouring into you. God is committed to giving you everything that you need. But you, friends, we have to be ready. We have to be those vessels that remain elastic, remain flexible, because we don't know how much God wants to put into us. But if we remain spiritually elastic, then we can contain all that God has for us. This morning, ask yourself, church, what is the state of your spiritual wineskin? Have you lost your elasticity? Has God stopped pouring into you because you've reached your capacity? What are the things that you're struggling with, that you've battled with for years, and you wonder why you can't break it or be free of it or whatever? It's because you're using old thinking. God wants to give you new wine. Team, would you come back, please? Worship team, would you come back to the platform? The team are going to introduce you to a new song. And it's called New Wine. It talks about, make me a vessel, make me an offering. It talks about pouring new wine into us. It talks about God using us how He wants to use us. And so this morning, as we sing it, I want you to make it a prayer. I want you to make it a prayer this morning, as we talk about God filling us with new wine. And if you need to respond, then you just stand where you are, arms open wide, you know, almost like a wine glass, you know, arms wide, allowing God to just pour something new into you. And before I hand over to the team, here's a measure for you. If you were more concerned about the fact that I stood on the platform drinking a glass of wine, you need a new wineskin. You need a new way of thinking. Just to put you at ease, it actually isn't wine, but you thought it was. And you were more concerned about that than about what God wants to do in you. And so if that's you, you're one of those people that need to respond this morning and allow God to do something new in you. So we're going to sing this, the team are going to introduce it to us, and we're going to use it as a prayer. And as you feel led, if you want to stand in response to what God is saying to you, then you stand where you are.